Good evening to everyone. It's good to be here. I'm thankful to have been invited by Nathan to come and share with you in this study. And we have come this evening to the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 through 20. To begin or introduce my thoughts, I'm going to ask 9 questions for you to consider. Think about these and look for the answers as we study. Number 1, why were the Psalms sometimes classified under the term prophets? Number 2, if Jesus had perpetuated or extended the law and the prophets, what would he have been doing? Number 3, what's the smallest letter of the Greek alphabet? Number 4, what did Jesus mean in Matthew 5:18 when he said, "Till heaven and earth pass away"? Number 5, when Jesus said in Matthew 5:18, "Till all be fulfilled," what did he mean by the word all? Number 6, why did Jesus constantly say in this chapter, "You have heard that it was said," instead of "it is written"? Number 7, what contrast is being made when Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, but I say to you"? Was he referring to what the Old Testament actually said, or was he referring to Pharisaic perversions? Number 8, was Jesus teaching New Testament doctrine in Matthew 5, or was he merely clarifying what the Old Testament really taught? Number 9, was it possible for Jesus to teach new things while the Old Testament was still in force? Would that have been a violation of Old Testament Scripture? So think about those questions as we study tonight and look for the answers if you don't already know them. All right, let's begin by reading the text that we're going to study. I'll ask Nathan, if he would, to read that for us.
"Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven."
There are a lot of churches, religions, that view or have misconceptions about the Old Testament Scriptures and the Old Testament law. And because of their misconceptions, they're doing things that aren't right because they don't understand about the beginning and ending of the Old Testament law. And even many in the church don't understand that concept. And so this is a great study and an important study for us tonight. Jesus is going to teach, he is beginning to teach, new teachings and different teachings of the kingdom. And many people interpret that as, or might interpret that as an attempt by Jesus to overthrow the law of Moses. And so he starts off by saying, "I did not come to overthrow the law. I came rather to fulfill the law." We'll talk about what that means. Let's start with verse number 17. Read it again, Nathan.
"Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill."
All right. Whatever Jesus is going to do to the law, he is going to do also to the prophets. Now, what does he mean by law? Well, by the word law, Jesus means the first five books of the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Those were the five books of Moses' law. And by the prophets, he means all the rest of the Old Testament books. Okay? Every once in a while, you will read a passage where the Psalms are taken out in their own section or classification, but usually they're lumped in together with the prophets because they were written by prophets. And so when you read this expression, the law and the prophets, we'll just erase the Psalms there. When you read the law and the prophets, what you're reading about is Jesus' relationship toward the entire Old Testament body of Scripture. Okay? Look at Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. Matthew 7, verse 12. Jacob, read that for me.
Ask and it will be given to you.
Nope. See, 12.
Oh, sorry. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets.
This is the law and the prophets. In other words, the entire Old Testament was trying to accomplish this great law, whatever you would that men do to you, do also unto them. The whole law and the prophets were looking forward to that. One time Jesus quoted the two great commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and with all your soul. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Look at Matthew 22, verse 40. Josiah, read it. 22, verse 40.
On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
All the law and the prophets. The entire Old Testament hinges on those two great commandments, to love God and love your neighbor. Okay? So then, when Jesus said, think not that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets, I've not come to destroy but to fulfill, he's talking about his relationship toward the entire Old Testament law and scriptures. Okay? Now, notice carefully what Jesus did not say. He did not say, I have come to perpetuate the Old Testament law. Somebody says, what's perpetuate? I had a lady ask me that. I thought that was a common word. I thought everybody knew that. Perpetuate means to extend, to keep it going indefinitely. Jesus didn't say, I have come not to destroy the law, but to extend it indefinitely. He didn't say that. The contrast that Jesus is making here regarding the law and the prophets is a contrast between destroy and fulfill. It is not a contrast between destroy and perpetuate or extend. He didn't say, I came not to destroy the law, but to extend it indefinitely. He didn't say that. And so, let me tell you something. If Jesus perpetuated the law, if he extended the law indefinitely, he would have destroyed the law. He would have destroyed it. And you say, why? Because the law and the prophets were filled with promises. These promises were called prophecies. Okay, and you know, there's a point where if you just keep on extending a promise long enough, eventually you reach the point where you say, that fella broke his word. He never fulfills his word. You can't trust him anymore. And so, if I had a financial bill, and I paid my bill, I have fulfilled my obligation. If I fulfill my obligation, I don't owe any more money. See? Now, what we have then here I'm going to erase that because that's not the contrast. The contrast is not destroy versus perpetuate, but destroy versus fulfill. Listen to me. Either one of these will bring the law to an end. Either one of them will. Jesus is telling us the method he is going to use to bring the law to an end. And he's going to bring it to an end, not by destroying it, but by fulfilling it. And so there's prophecy like, for example, in Genesis chapter 22 in verses 17 and 18, God said to Abraham, through you and through your family, all nations of the world will be blessed. And if all Jesus had done is just come and extend that promise, if he did not come and bring a blessing to all nations of the world, if he just extended that and just extended it and never fulfilled it, he would have broken his word. He would have destroyed that prophecy. Again, in Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34, we've read this several times during this study already. The prophecies about a new covenant, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. If Jesus had just extended that and perpetuated it and had not brought a new covenant, he would have destroyed that prophecy of Jeremiah. In Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44, there's the prophecy of a everlasting kingdom which shall break in pieces all of the earthly kingdoms, and it shall reign forever. If Jesus had not come and brought a new kingdom, he would have destroyed the prophecy in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. Now this word destroy comes from the Greek verb kataluo. Whoops, leaving out my upsilon there. Kataluo. That's destroy. Now, kind of keep that in your mind. I know you're not a Greek expert, right? Just kind of keep that word in the back of your mind. It's going to be important in a minute. Kataluo, to destroy. This over here is from the word plerao. Plerao. Now, to destroy, kataluo, means to demolish, destroy, overthrow, throw down. So I'm going to put down here overthrow. I like that. Overthrow. And the word fulfill means to fill, make full, fill up, complete. I like that. So I'm going to put right here complete. Okay? So Jesus is then telling us, rather than overthrowing the law, rather the law, if the law were overthrown, that would bring it to an end. Yeah, that would. But he's not going to use that method. Instead, he's going to use the method of plerao, or fulfill, or complete. He's going to bring it to an end by completing it. Now look at verse 18, Matthew 5, verse 18. Nehemiah, read that.
I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled.
Okay, see that word, one jot? You know what that Greek word is for jot? It's the word iota. Iota. And Jacob over here, he knows that iota is the smallest letter of the Greek alphabet. Iota is just that. It's a little I with no dot on top of it. That's an iota. And so not one jot, not one iota, or not one tittle. The word tittle is from the Greek word keraia. It means literally little horn. And it's the little stroke of the pen that distinguishes the one character in the alphabet from a different character. For example, what's the difference between a C and a G? The difference is that little mark right there. Just that one little mark makes the difference between a G and a C. What's the difference between an F and an E? The difference is that little stroke of the pen right down there on the bottom. And so what Jesus is saying is, till heaven and earth pass, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter is going to be taken away by the process of overthrow. Not going to use that, not even for the smallest part of a letter. He is going to keep the most minute aspect of the law. Are you listening to me? And he will not be a legalist when he does that. He will not be a legalist. Keeping the smallest itty-bitty part of the law is not legalism. Second, the Old Testament law was not going to fade out one bit at a time. Some people kind of think the old law faded out sort of like the little boy that took his dog to the vet to have his tail cut off, and he wanted the tail cut off a little bit at a time so it wouldn't hurt so bad. No. It's not going out a little bit at a time. It's either in full force completely or none of it. And when we say it's in full force, we mean everything. We mean the animal sacrifices. We mean stoning blasphemers. We mean circumcision. We mean assembling in the city of Jerusalem three times a year for festivals. We mean forbidden food regulations are all still in force. If any of it is in force, all of it is, every bit of it. You cannot say we need to keep the Ten Commandments, but I don't want to have stoning people to death. You can't do that. You either have the whole law or none. Galatians chapter 5, verse 3. Joseph, Galatians 5, 3.
And I testify to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law.
Oh, man. You need to highlight that verse in your Bible. Circle it. Circle it. Because people say, oh, I want to keep the Sabbath day. I want to keep the Ten Commandments. You can't keep, if you're going to keep any of the law, you're a debtor to keep the whole law. And you can't just pick and choose which part of the law you want. You have to keep it all or none. Okay? Now, how long will the law last? Look at what it says there. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 18. Read it again. Evan, read that. Verse 18.
Verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot nor one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled.
Okay. Look at what it says. Till heaven and earth pass. Does that mean not one jot, not one iota, not one tittle, not one, not the smallest part of the letter, not one will pass till heaven and earth pass? Till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle shall pass from the law till all is fulfilled. All right, in the margin, in your Bible, right beside Matthew 5:18, write in teeny weeny letters, Luke 16:17. Luke 16:17. All right, let's go over there. Cody, read that. Luke 16:17. This is the Bible interpreting the Bible.
And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail.
Oh, it's easier for heaven and earth to pass than for one tittle of the law to fail. You see, Jesus is using a proverb. He's not saying that heaven and earth has to pass away before the law of Moses will stop. He's using a proverb. He says it's easier for the heavens and earth to pass away than for one tittle of the the law to fail or to be overthrown. You'd just as soon destroy heaven and earth as to destroy or overthrow the law of Moses while it's in force. It's a proverb. Now notice what he said. Let's read it again. Matthew 5, verse 18. Read it again, Cody.
I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled.
Till all be fulfilled. There is when the law is going to end. When all is fulfilled, then the law of Moses will pass away. Now, what did Jesus mean by that word all? Until all is fulfilled. You can't, it'd be easier for the heavens and the earth to be destroyed than for one tittle of the law to be destroyed. And so it will be until heaven and earth, it'll be easier for heaven and earth to pass away than to destroy one part of the law by overthrow. And it will remain in force till all is fulfilled. What does he mean by all? If he means every single prophecy of the Old Testament must be fulfilled, every one of them, before the law ends, then the law of Moses is still in force tonight. The whole thing. Stoning people, animal sacrifice, everything. You know why? Because there is still, in the Old Testament, unfulfilled prophecies. Just to give you one. Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 8 talks about death being eliminated. God's going to take away death and He will wipe all tears from their eyes. Isaiah 25 and verse 8, that's quoted by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:54, and it will not be fulfilled till Jesus comes again. So if all be fulfilled means every prophecy of the Old Testament has to be fulfilled before the law comes in, then Moses' law is still in force. But Luke, again, helps us. He helps us understand what Jesus meant by the word all. So circle the word all in Matthew 5:18. And then in the margin of your Bible, in teeny-weeny letters, write Luke 24:44. Luke 24:44. Okay, let's read it. Justin, Luke 24:44.
Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me."
Oh, look at that. All things, do you see that? Underline that. All things must be fulfilled which are written in the law and in the prophets and in the Psalms. Look at this now. Concerning me. All of those prophecies concerning Jesus coming to the earth the first time. All of those prophecies have to be fulfilled before the law of Moses can come to an end. And look at Acts chapter 13. Acts 13, verse 29. And Mike, read that for me. When they had fulfilled all that was written him, all that was concerning him, there's the all things that must be fulfilled before the Mosaic law can end. You know what? We actually get this from Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17. It's actually there. Let's go back there and let's look at it again. Matthew 5 and verse 17. Okay. Brother Morris, would you read that? 5:17.
Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets.
Don't think that I came to destroy. I came not to destroy. But he's talking about his coming to the earth. And why did he come to the earth? And he says, all things must be fulfilled. In other words, concerning his coming to the earth must be fulfilled before the law of Moses can come to an end. And so Jesus taught that every jot, every tittle of Moses' law, every bit of it would remain in full force until all things concerning his coming to the earth and being our Savior, when all of that was fulfilled, then the law of Moses would be accomplished and it would end. Now, question. Did Jesus fulfill all things that the Mosaic law said about him when he came to the earth the first time? Did he do that? Let's look over in John 19. John 19. Brother Martin, you want to read for me? Okay. Verse 28.
After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, said, I thirst.
Okay, underline all things there. He knew all things were now accomplished. Now read verse number 30. It's finished. There it is. Think not that I came to the earth to destroy the law. I came to the earth not to destroy but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, it is easier for the heavens and earth to pass away than for one tittle of the law to fail or to be overthrown or destroyed. And it will continue in full force until all things concerning me coming to the earth have been accomplished. And when he had tasted the sour wine, he said, it's finished. And all things concerning him were brought to an end. And that's why we say when Jesus died on the cross, the Old Testament was nailed to the cross. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14, quote it. Blotting out
the handwriting of requirements which was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way,
nailing it to the cross. They've been blotted out, taken away. They were contrary to us, and they've been taken away. They were nailed to the cross. All things concerning the Lord were now accomplished. And Jesus brought the law to an end, not because he overthrew it, not by violent overthrow. He brought it to an end because he completed it. And now it's completed. And we're not under the law anymore. Now we live under a new covenant. When did the new begin? Chad, read to me Hebrews 9, 16 and 17. Right. While Jesus was on the earth, he was delivering the terms of his new covenant, his new testament. But those terms, those requirements, didn't come into force officially until he died. And so when he died, two things happened. When he died, the old law was taken away, not because it was destroyed, but because it was completed. And it was fulfilled. And now a new testament comes in. And we're living under a new testament. All right? Now let's go to the next point. Matthew 5, verse 19. Eric, read that for me if you would.
Okay.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Okay. See that word, whosoever shall break one of these least commandments. See that word break? That word break is from Greek verb luo. You remember what the word destroy was? The word destroy is kata luo. See, that's a compound word. That's a prefix right there. And this is the root, luo. And down here, break. Whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments, that's the word luo. And it just means to loose or destroy. Now, whoever loosens one of the least of these commandments, whoever loosens the requirements of even the least commandment while it's in force, and then he teaches men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Now listen to me. Jesus did not say, whoever teaches new things shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. He didn't say that. He didn't say, whoever teaches different things shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. He said, whoever loosens the requirements of Mosaic law while it is in force and then teaches men to do that, he'll be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Now, Jesus taught a lot of new things and a lot of different things while Moses' law was in force, but he never loosened the requirements of the law while it was in force. Okay? Now, let me try to illustrate. We're getting ready to read some contrastive teaching in just a minute. And let me try to illustrate this contrastive teaching like this. Make some room here on the board. I'm going to draw two boxes. This is New Testament. This is Old Testament. Now, if I take the teachings of Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, and I put them over here in this box called New Testament, and I say, these teachings are New Testament teachings, there are going to be some brethren that have a fit. And they're going to say, huh? You can't have Jesus teaching New Testament teaching while the Old Testament law is in force. Because Jesus said, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. You can't have him teaching New Testament law while the old's in force. And then after they finish breathing their fire and brimstone, they erase that. And they say, here is where Matthew 5, 6, and 7 belong. They are Old Testament teaching. Wait a minute. I put Matthew 5, 6, and 7 over here, and it violates the Old Testament. And we can't have Jesus teaching that while the law is in force. So now we move those same chapters over here, and now they're not contradicting the law anymore. Now they are the law. Anybody see a problem there? There's a problem there in that kind of... Now, I maintain, if these teachings were put in the New Testament box, if putting them here violates the old law, moving them over here isn't going to change nothing. They're still going to violate the old law. And if you can put these in the Old Testament box and they don't violate the Old Testament, I'm saying you can move them right over here and they won't violate the old law if you put them in that box. Just relabeling them isn't going to solve the problem, you see. Now, Jesus is teaching that if you break what you consider to be the least commandment, and then you teach men to do the same thing, you will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Have you ever met people that do that? They take the Bible and they go through it and they say, oh man, I like that one. I'm going to do that one. I'm not doing that. And they just go through and they label everything big and little. And they keep the big ones and the little ones. Legalism. Not going to worry about that. Jesus said you can't treat the law like that. When you go through the Bible and you label things big and little and you only keep the big ones, you know what you're doing? You're doing your will all the time in everything. You're just doing what you want to do. That's why Jesus, when that rich young ruler came to Jesus and he said, "What good thing must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Keep the commandments." And Jesus said, he said, "Well, what commandments?" And Jesus enumerated them. You know, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall honor your father and mother. He says, "All these I've kept from my youth up. What do I still lack?" Jesus said, "If you want to be perfect, go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor. And you'll have treasures in heaven. Then come take up your cross and follow me." And he turned and went away, was sorrowful because he had great riches. You know what he demonstrated? He demonstrated he wasn't doing any of God's will at all. He was just doing what he wanted in everything. You know why he honored his father and mother? He wanted to. You know why he didn't steal? He didn't want to. You know why he didn't commit adultery? He didn't want to. You know, but when it comes to selling all that you have, he demonstrated he's only going to do what he wants in anything. And when you treat the law like that, you're not obeying any of it. You're just doing what you want. Just doing what you want. Now, is there a lesson for us, at least to this point? Jesus' teaching is saying, if you want a true disciple, you find yourself someone who is already devout in the religion they're in right now, and if you can ever convert them, you know what kind of Christian they're going to be if you could ever convert them? If you could get a devout Muslim and you could convert them, you know what kind of Christian that person will be if you could convert them? They would be just as devout when they become a Christian as they were under their old system. But if you get somebody, you know, you get some community church person out here and they go to church on Easter and Christmas. And every once in a while they'll watch what they say. Won't curse too much. If you could ever convince them to get baptized, you know what you're going to have on your hands? You're going to have a new baptized person who probably you're only going to see them on Christmas and Easter. And they might watch what they say sometimes if you're around. However devout you are with your law that you are under, that's how devout you will be under the Lord's law when it comes. And so Jesus is saying, look here, however you guys treat my old law, however you treat Moses' law, when the new law finally does come, that's how you're going to treat my new law, because old habits are hard to break. Look at Luke chapter 16, verse 10. Back up here to Jacob. Read that. Luke 16, 10.
He who is faithful in what is least, and what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much.
Well, if you can't even keep the old law, how in the world do you think you're going to keep the new law when it finally arrives? Okay? We've got to respect every command of the Lord because every command came from the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 6. Josiah? Psalm 119, verse 6.
Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments.
Oh, you need to circle that one. I shall not be ashamed when I have respect unto all your commandments. All of them. Notice what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 19. Read it again, Nathan. 5:19. Whoever what? Whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever what?
But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven.
Whoever does and teaches. Did you read that right? He put the doing before the teaching? Before I go around and start teaching somebody the law, I better start doing it first. Because you know what? When you start teaching somebody to do something that you're not doing yourself, you're a hypocrite. That's what Jesus called you over in Matthew 23. He put the doing before the teaching. All right. We're at a little breaking spot right here. We're about ready to start verse 20, and it's almost 8 o'clock. So let's take a little 10-minute break, and we'll come back and finish this after you've woke up. So go get a drink. Wake up.